Love to have the children around me. I know Gideon's working with like 5 properties right now, and he's not getting a lot of rest. But boy, I thank you for coming up and singing this morning. Beautiful to hear that. Let's go to the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. I chose this text for resurrection, and then as I was studying it, I thought, it seems like I preached this for the Lord's Supper one time. I've been here 10 years, so I can't hardly think, and I dug around a little bit, and I said, I sure did do that. But I thought, why have I never preached this text, the Emmaus Road, for the resurrection? This was resurrection day toward the end of the day. You know how the day started. Now you're going to see how the day ended in this text. That blessed Easter Sunday is recorded here. I'll be reading verses 13, and I'm going to just take my time. This is Easter Sunday. There's no evening service this evening, but I'm just going to take my time and read this for you this morning. I think I had originally said to Dan 13 through like 35. I'm going to go ahead and read through 43 with you. But if you're able to stand for a reading from the Word, let's stand together once again. Beginning in verse 13, the Emmaus Road. Hear the word of the Lord. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us in the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith to them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I guess now is the time. If you open the eyes of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, would it be too much for me to ask, would you open our eyes? Jesus was right in front of them, yet they didn't know him. I know, he's here. He's right in front of us. I pray that if there's one here who doesn't know him, that you would open their eyes, they would know him before they leave. That just as these went through a bucket of emotions, that the end was joy, joy, joy. I pray today, Lord, that the risen Savior would be glorified today through the reading of your word and through the preaching of your word, that your Spirit would deal with all of our hearts, and we will give you thanks eternally. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, the text before us is certainly a very special, a very special post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, don't you think? The same day. I mean, this—you know how the day started. We've been through it over my 10-plus years here. We've been through the morning events. Now we're going through an evening event together. This is how it all came to an end. I've used this text for the Lord's Supper. I love the Lord's Supper when we come together. It's such a beautiful time. And to me, there's something mysterious. I mean, I always want to make more of the bread than, hey, I just want you to remember. I think we should remember, but I think there's more to it than that. And here's the cup. Hey, I want you to remember. I do want you to remember, but I think there's more to it than that. I think there's this kind of mysterious way in which Christ is present with us in the meal. And the reason I chose it for the Lord's Supper years ago, I almost forgot that I had preached it before. Finally, I thought, I think I've done this for the Lord's Supper. It's when they didn't know him and didn't know him and didn't know him, even though he opened scripture to him. And then when he broke that bread and he blessed it, their eyes were opened. There he was. Boom. To me, that makes a very special communion service. I also think this makes a very special resurrection service as well. As we spend time here. Here are these two disciples. They've been to Jerusalem. They're walking home. They're traveling 7 miles. Nice walk. I don't think there's nothing in the whole wide world that I would rather do is just take a walk with a friend and just talk about the goodness of the Lord. That's what they are doing. 7 miles, getting this long extended journey. And they're talking about all the things that had happened. Maybe they're talking about, I think he was supposed to be the king. The kingdom's supposed to come in. You think the kingdom's going to come in? You think Rome's going to be overthrown? What do you think? Did you hear about the ladies? Did you hear about the disciples? Did you hear about the angels? They're just talking. Very thrilling subject matter for sure. And while they talked, Jesus drew near and walked along with them in verse number 15. He kept his identity from them. He kind of came in incognito. He did something so that I get the impression they would have known him had he not done something to hide his identity from them. But just as the infant in Bethlehem, no one knew him. He came with a hidden identity. Even so, with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, his identity is hidden. And he asked them, what are you talking about? And they're shocked by his question. What are you talking about?
Don't you? It'd be like us going to, you know, when I was a kid, my mom and dad said, "Now you better watch this. The guys are going to land on the moon, and you know, one giant step, one giant leap, and all that." It'd be like someone landing on the moon. What are we talking about? Haven't you heard the guys landed on the moon? It was a big deal. Are you the only one that isn't talking about the one who was crucified in Jerusalem? I mean, where have you been? Hiding under a rock? And they began to talk to him about what had happened. They tell him what they saw. They tell him what they heard. And I suppose they tell him how the whole thing is so hard to believe, that we worship a risen Savior. People say the disciples stole the body. The disciples had a learning, just like me, they had a learning curve that wouldn't quit. Like, stole the body. I'm like, what are we doing? There was no way they would have stolen the body. And they couldn't believe it. The women couldn't believe it. These disciples couldn't believe it. The angels had to convince everyone that he is risen. I want us to look at their hearts here. First, I see a broken heart. And maybe there's a broken heart here. The second thing I want us to see is a blinded heart. They should have known, didn't know, didn't know. He called them, "Oh fools, you know." They were a blinded heart. The last thing I want you to see is that there is a burning heart. Quickly together, broken hearts, 18 through 24. The two disciples, we know one of their names. We don't know the other guy's name. I wish I knew the other guy's name. Don't know the, one of them is Cleopas. He begins to answer up. Are you the only one not talking? We're talking about this. Everybody's talking about this. Are you the only one not talking about this? This shouldn't come as any surprise as to what we're talking about. He says, okay, what is it that you're talking about? We're talking about Jesus, who was just murdered for all practical purposes, crucified, manhandled, beaten, spit on, mocked in Jerusalem during the Passover season. And they begin to talk about him in past terms. I mean, when he was alive, he said things nobody else said. And when he was alive, he did things nobody else did. And he was a prophet. They keep talking in these past terms. He did say that when he was alive. He did do that when he was alive. He was this when he was alive. And of course, no one ever preached like Jesus. No one was ever born like Jesus. No one ever lived like Jesus. No one ever talked like Jesus. No one ever preached like Jesus. No one ever did miracles like Jesus. No one ever died like Jesus. Certainly no one ever rose from the grave like Jesus. I mean, he's one of a kind. He's not one among thousands. He is one of one. And they were saying that. This is one of one. He was like no one else I had ever met in my life. And haven't you heard? There were women that came to the tomb early in the morning, and the tomb was empty. And Mary Magdalene, we sing that glorious song, "And he walked with me, and he talked with me, and he tells me I am his own. His voice I hear." She was there, and he spoke with her specifically and told her to go and tell others. The women were there. They're telling this to Jesus. Of course, Jesus was there with the women. The disciples went, Peter and John, and Peter, you know, John outruns Peter, and Peter rushes in as only Peter would do and burst into the tomb, and his body was not there. Angels have been talking about this. They're telling this to Jesus. Angels have told us that he is alive. And so women are telling us he's alive. The disciples are telling us the tomb is empty. We think he's alive. The angels are telling us he's alive. We don't know what to think. And the interesting thing was Jesus was right in front of them and they didn't know him. Now, you say, "Pastor, don't say this." I'm going to say it anyway. I suspect over the 10 years, there are people that have been listening to me that need to come to faith in Christ. He's right in front of you. You haven't seen him yet. I pray that you see him today. Just my thoughts. I think I'm right. He's right there. They were so close, and yet they were so far. I pray that today the gap, as the gap was closed, this so many years ago, that the gap would be closed today, and that you would finish with Christ today in this place. They loved him more than anyone. They were shaken up by his absence. They had broken hearts, but they also had what I call blinded hearts, beginning in 25. In 25, he says, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered? I mean, don't you know from the Old Testament that Christ was supposed to suffer? Don't you know that Christ was supposed to be murdered as he was? Don't you know that Christ was supposed to suffer these things, be raised in the Old Testament, enter into his glory, the ascension in the Old Testament? And then beginning at Moses, he gives them a jet tour of all of those good things. They had blinded hearts. And he begins to talk to them about the Old Testament. I'm a huge fan of the Old Testament. I'm a huge fan of the New Testament. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable for the people of the Lord. And he begins to showcase himself in the writings of Moses, in the writings of the Samuels, in the writings of the Solomons, in all the writings of the Davids and the minor and major prophets. He begins to showcase himself. He goes literally from Genesis, a jet tour. I mean, it is a message that I would, a message of messages. If there's any message I would that is not recorded in Scripture that I would love to hear, it would be him talking about himself from Genesis to Malachi. And no doubt he touched on Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was crushed for our sins. By his stripes we are healed. He would be striped, lashed. And it would be much more than a momentary physical healing. It would be an eternal spiritual healing that would fall on us because he was crushed. He was striped. He was wounded. He fell under the weight of that. He would go to Isaiah 53. He would go to Psalm 22, which opens up, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That sounds familiar. It's words that he said from the cross. And they would, all of the Jews standing there would say, he's quoting Psalm 22. He just opened up Psalm 22. And it tells the story of a crucifixion event, a death that had never been heard of. It had not been invented yet. It was as though Psalm 22, the guy that writes Psalm 22, is an eyewitness account of the events outside of Jerusalem as Jesus hung there. There's spitting going on, mocking going on, soldiers trading for clothing. There are earthquakes. His bones are out of joint. Not a bone is broke. It is graphic in Psalm 22, the explanation of the cross. He would have gone there, undoubtedly. He would have gone back to Isaiah 53. He's going to be buried in a rich man's grave. He would have gone to Psalms, maybe over in 16. He wouldn't remain in the grave to rot. He would not see decay. He would be raised on the third day, according to Scripture. Maybe he mentioned Job. Shall a man live after he dies? One of the greatest questions asked in all of Scripture. Shall a man live after he dies? Or Job saying, I will with my eyes see my Redeemer on earth. He's going to be resurrected. He would go through this. You know, I think sometimes Wednesday nights we're doing maybe I should call it the Emmaus Road. I started in Genesis. Now, I got off to a slow start. It took me 7 years to get through Genesis. Sorry about that. But I'm picking up speed. We've gone through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Now we're in Judges. We're breaking into Judges. We are doing the Emmaus Road on Wednesday nights here at Friendly and having a great time. Talking about Jesus all the way through. It's a glorious event in our church calendar. They didn't know the Old Testament. They didn't know that there was something they needed to look back to that could guide them forward for today. I think if there's anything wrong with the church today, the church today lives for I, me, my, mine, today. I think the church needs to look back. To look back at Scripture, Old Testament. There are those who say Old Testament's run its race, Old Testament's run its course, the Old Testament's a has-been, the Old Testament's a wannabe. We're a New Testament church. We do not need the Old Testament. Old Testament, Jesus would not agree with that. But we need to look back over Scripture, and I think we need to look back over not only embrace some modern traditions that are coming into the church, but never forget some of the old traditions that the church has long embraced. We're much too now-ville. And there's something that the saints of past ages, first century, second century, third century, confessions, creeds, traditions that the church did, has done across the generations that helped them draw near to Christ, that he says, you're a fool for not knowing the past. And there's a message there. We live not in a historically rich church time. We live in an ahistoric time. We just don't know church history. And so rather than focus on I, me, my, and mine, focus on God. And I think things will work out nicely. They had blinded hearts. They also had burning hearts, 28, and this is where we draw to the end of it. 28, they drew near to home. They'd walked their 7 miles. They've visited. The sun is going down. This is resurrection day. They make the notion, we're going to go in for a meal. He makes the notion, he's not presuming, he's not presumptive on them. He gives body language and maybe some verbal language. I think I'll just continue on my way. And they said, wait, maybe, would it be okay if you would come in and break bread with us and spend some time? Maybe even spend that. I mean, we're close to the end of the day. We will offer hospitality to you. And he, ever being gracious, says, okay, I will go in with you. And so the two locals invite Jesus to spend the night. He agrees. He joins them for a meal in verse number 29. We're told in 30 and 31, he takes bread. This is why I've used it for the Lord's Supper previously. He blesses it. He dispenses it. Their eyes are opened. Boom. All of a sudden they realize they are in the presence of the resurrected Christ. There he is sitting at our table. And as they no sooner recognize who he is than he vanishes from their sight. And later on, we see that they run back in the 7 miles, healthy guys. And they meet with the 11, minus Judas, haven't chosen Matthias yet. And they tell them about the stranger who walked with them. And now he broke bread, blessed it, and their eyes were open. They saw Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he appears in the room, right in their midst. And they're all terrified. They're all having this collective presence of Christ in their midst. And he asked them, why are you frightened in 38? And why are you full of doubt in 38 again? And he says, look at my hands. They say the only man-made thing in heaven is going to be the nail prints of Jesus' hands, in his hands and in his feet, the scars. The only man-made thing, the puncture in his side. He says, look at this wound. Look at my body as it is in its present condition. It's me. He says, touch me. He says, feel me. Hey, by the way, have you got anything to eat? And they said, we've got some fish. They fed him. He ate with them. Isn't that one of the sweetest post-resurrection scenes given to us in the New Testament, in the Emmaus Road? Jesus conquered death. What people are most afraid of in this life is the subject of their death. And you can die one of two ways. You can die in your sins without Christ, and your body will be raised to eternal judgment. Or you can die in the faith, and your body will be raised to eternal life. This week, Rhoda Salmon departed this life and went home to be with the Lord. Rhoda, she would love it when I preached in Acts on the lady named Rhoda. That was her favorite text. And but she's home. She's been promoted to glory. She's been expedited home. And she's safely there. Jesus conquered death. There are those who say, I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. That's all. I'm not afraid of it. Jesus has robbed. He's a grave robber. Jesus has robbed the grave. The sting that death previously had, fear, panic. He's removed the sting. The writer of Psalms would say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there are shadows being cast by these flowers, and I'm walking through these shadows. Doesn't hurt me at all. When I was driving here this morning, I drove through the shadows of semis. When I was driving here this morning, I drove through the shadows of great big billboards on the side of the road. Now, if I had hit the semi, that would be terrible. If I'd hit the roadside sign, that would have been terrible. Shadows don't hurt at all. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you know why that is in the Old Testament? Because they had faith in Christ. I will tell you plain. They had faith in our Savior. You say, how did they have faith? They looked forward to His coming. Those who were alive when He was on earth looked at Him. And we who live in this on the other side of the cross, we look back to Him. Jesus would say in the book of John, Abraham saw my day. He saw my day. I pray that you would see the day of Christ. And that if there's blinders on your eyes, that those blinders would be removed today. And that if you struggle with sin, that you would come to faith in Christ, that you would settle the issue today, right now, during this service, that you could find peace with God through faith in a living Savior. I'll be here to greet you as we sing our closing song. You can come to be saved today. You say, well, what would I say? What would I do? How about this? Christ, save me. How about that for a start? Christ, help me. And He will do just that. If you need prayer today, there are those within this room that need prayer this morning. I will take as long as I need, and everyone would be thrilled if you would come for prayer. If you need a church home today, you may be living in this community detached from the church. I think everyone needs a physical home. I think everyone needs a church home with a pastor and brothers and sisters in Christ, where they can serve the Lord and join and do chores and worship and fellowship and pray and grow in their faith together. I'll be here at the front to meet you and to greet you in that regard. But before we go to the invitation time, could I ask you to bow your heads in prayer with me for just a moment? Father, Jesus conquered death. Joy, joy, joy. There were those on that day
who were frightened when they saw him, who were shocked when they saw him, who were startled, who almost panicked when they saw him. Lord, we are so delighted to serve a risen Savior. We pray today that if there's one here outside of Christ, that they would come to faith in Christ this morning. If there are any who need prayer today, Lord, that they would come. It would be my privilege and my honor just to offer a prayer with them and for them. If they need to come to the altar by themselves, perfect. Lord, there may be others who need a church home today. We ask that you'll speak to our hearts and use the text of Luke chapter 24, that your Spirit would use those words and that story. Great, great story to touch many today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's turn to 488. Thank you for being here this morning. 488, just as I am without one plea. If you need to come this morning for salvation, come for prayer, come for a church home, you come as we sing 488. Why don't we stand together as we sing 488 together? You come as we sing.
Just as